there, it's Toby, and before you get started on this episode, I wanted to tell you about our sponsor, Retropop Relics. Retropop Relics has been creating some of the coolest 3D printed giant video game cartridges. If you visit RetropopRelics.com, you can see a bunch of the cartridges that are already available. You can get Super Smash Bros., Paper Mario, Super Mario World, Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, and even Green. These are perfect decorations for your game room. So again, go check out RetropopRelics.com. And if you use the promo code GENIE at checkout, you'll get 10% off. RetropopRelics.com. Enjoy the show.
FastSecretMedia.com.
We just
hate Fast Secret Media.
Gamers, welcome to Sickle Levels Podcast. On this week's episode, we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
It's Wayne's World, Party Time, excellent.
I'm Player One, Foxy Lady Toby.
I am Player Two, Gelatinous Cube Goobs.
Not.
And we've got a Player Three with us today. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, I am Extreme Close Up Joey.
This is a retro video game review show where we go over one game per episode. We go over the history, the story, the gameplay, some fun facts, and then...
we go right in the rage mirror. Like, are you trying to break into a house and fall and land on your keys?
Ow.
Oh, ouch, that hurts. You squiggle funny right through fire? Oh, it's pretty rageful.
It is pretty rageful. After we rage, we settle down and we give the game a nice 1 to 10 rating to let you know if it's still worth playing. Why 1 to 10 goobs?
Because we're just some simple thick boys.
Boys,
we're simple. We're thick.
So thick.
Joey, you're not so thick. You're not as thick as us, but you are definitely a honorary member of the thick.
He's thick adjacent. He's thicker in other places.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. I'm not part of the thick boys. I mean, you just haven't. You haven't looked closely.
Okay, so we are gathered here today, fellas, to talk about a game, aren't we?
Yeah, we sure are.
I mean, we could talk about anything, so it's fine.
We could talk about anything, like movies or, you know, our favorite sketches from Saturday Night Live.
Well, this is a movie and a sketch from Saturday Night Live. We're talking about Wayne's World. Whoa!
Now, our pal here, Joey from Retro Pop Relics, has picked this game for us.
Way to drop a name there.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, everyone remembers me, right? I showed up on an episode a while back.
That's right. We did an interview. You're also our sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
With the badass 3D printed cartridges, kind of get a little plug in there right now, right? You see what I'm doing?
Thank you. Appreciate it. What a perfect partnership with you guys, right?
Yeah.
And you're not trying to take us over.
Wait, did we sign contracts?
Or one of your henchmen steal our wife, or my wife. Shout out to Jenny Bean.
Yippee!
I mean, I didn't say this, but, you know, Retropop is owned by Frankie Sharp Records, so.
As long as you're buying us a studio, I'm signing that contract. So, I have to ask, what made you want to travel to the Wayne's World for this episode?
So, I think we got on the subject a long time ago, Goobs and I, right?
Yes.
Someone made a Wayne's World reference, and it was uncovered that we have some very big Wayne's World fans here. So yes. I was a very strange child growing up, and I watched Wayne's World religiously, like over and over again.
As you do.
And yeah, I mean, right? I mean, screw kids' movies. I was all about Wayne's World.
As any well-adjusted kid should do, is watch Wayne's World over and over.
Right, right. I think in my rotation was basically like Wayne's World, Terminator 2, and Predator. So,
oh, you know. Yeah, that makes sense. That's perfect.
Yeah. I was like the perfect 80s, 90s kid, right?
Right. Less traumatizing than fucking Land Before Time.
Yes, right.
There you go. So, you know, as soon as Goobs caught wind of that, there's been nonstop Wayne's World references for the past, I don't know, 6 months, I think.
If not longer.
Yeah, if not longer at this point. And so basically I forced my way into this episode saying, you know, if and when you get to Wayne's World, or if it's a possibility, I'm basically coming on the show. So I guess just,
hey,
you know.
It's fine that you bullied your way here, and now you're here. So it worked out.
There you go.
Which, okay, I want to ask everyone in the room, because I feel like I have a different opinion. Your favorite Wayne's World movie, is it one or two?
Ooh,
I like.
One.
See, mine's two. I don't know if that's controversial.
I watched two today.
I watched them both this week. I was excited.
I know, I was pretty excited. Or, you know, it was cranked, you might say.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I watched one last night, and I watched two today during the day. I was like, I'm watching them back to back.
Yep, that's kind of basically what I did. I watched one night and watched the other night.
Yeah, they're the perfect 1-2 punch combo. Like, I hate when sequels fucking suck, and Wayne's World 2 definitely doesn't suck.
Yeah.
No, it basically continued, like, lockstep. You didn't miss a single beat, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
It really rolled into the second one perfectly.
Don't forget to cross your T's and dot your lowercase J's.
J's.
I never got that joke as a kid.
That's funny.
Really?
Nope, I was slow.
Which one's your favorite?
I gotta go with the first one, man.
It's a classic. I get it. But there, I think as a kid, like, I loved the whole kung fu thing, like when his shirt rips off and stuff. Like, there's just so many more gags that I like in the second one.
Yeah,
so.
The Jurassic Park thing. I'm the leprechaun.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I think I'm, you know, I'm a sucker for the gags. But, you know, we don't do a movie review podcast. We do a retro gaming podcast.
That's another show for another time.
Right.
Oh, if that's the case, I guess I'll just sign off now. I thought we were talking Wayne's World.
Well, we are. We're talking that the Super Nintendo game. So did you play this game growing up? Because this was pretty much my first experience. I've seen people, you know, do reviews on it on YouTube in the past, but I've never actually sat down and played it myself until this experience.
Neither. No, I know it sounds really crazy. I did not play this growing up. I don't necessarily know why either. I don't know. But I'm very glad I did recently, because it gave me a lot of flashbacks to the movie and everything.
Yeah.
But no, I never played it growing up. I guess, I don't know, I shouldn't be admitting that on this episode. I should have just done that offline.
It's all good.
No, I mean, that's what we're trying to do, is find out if these games are worth playing or not. So, you know, this is perfect. But something that we love Wayne's World, and we love the characters and stuff, so why wouldn't we love the game? Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. or can I throw in a not?
Yeah. Yeah. Not.
Yeah.
Goobs, what about you?
I didn't play this game. I played the NES one.
Oh, I did.
Which I also played for this show.
Yeah, I played. Oh, yeah. There was a little mix-up. Goobs thought he was playing the NES version instead of the Super Nintendo, so.
So I think you and I talked about it a while ago, right? I asked which one you wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I got the Super Nintendo one. And I was like, should I get the original one?
Yeah, I played the Super Nintendo one now.
Yeah, he just, because I was playing it, and he's like, I'm not playing the same game as you. I was like, oh, because I was streaming when he saw me playing it. How about we go ahead and get into the details of this, and we'll start talking about that gameplay and stuff, and we'll talk about the differences of the NES version later on.
Yeah, well, we don't have to do that.
This game was released in North America on April 1993. It was developed by Gray Matter Inc. It was published by THQ. Now, we played the Super Nintendo version.
Now you're playing with power, superpower.
But like we said a second ago, there was a different game with the same name on the NES, and there was also ports of this game to the Sega Genesis, and there was a Game Boy port, and it said that there was a DOS version, but I couldn't find much info on that, so I'm not real sure on that one.
I saw that today, as a matter of fact, the DOS one, and I'm like, wait a second, what? And but same thing, I couldn't find anything about it.
I didn't dive too deep looking for any details on it, but yeah, I couldn't find anything. But there was several different sources saying that it existed, so I don't, whatever. We don't care about that anyways. Now, this is a single-player 2D action platformer, and there is quite a story on this game.
Well, let's swing our way into the story. Swing, Temple, Toby's a babe. He's babelicious.
Are you ready for this? Number one of the top 10 most bizarre things to happen this year. Garth has been kidnapped. No way!
Way!
It all begins down at Noah's Arcade, where Wayne and Garth are engrossed with a capital G in most heinous game called Xantar. All of a sudden, there's a blinding flash and a kaboom! The two find themselves inside the game. In the wink of an eye, the helpless Garth is inhaled by Xantar, the Xantar, the gelatinous cube, a pixelated purple cube of the first degree. Before our stunned hero can react, Xantar is gone, and Garth along with him. And now you, Wayne Campbell, must heartily rescue your excellent sidekick from a fate most unbecoming. All becoming. So yeah, you get sucked into the video game, essentially, and you're trying to rescue your pal, your buddy.
So deep.
Good simple story.
Your co-host. That could happen to us one day.
It could.
It could. You know, you never know. This game should take around 2 hours to beat, according to howlongtobeat.com. That's not the case for me, anyways. Well,
that's good. I think I had like 50 hours into it, and I think I got barely past the first level.
Oh man, tell me about it. Speedrun.com has a record set by the Yakko Man guy of 23 minutes and 14 seconds.
How?
Right.
Drugs.
Has to be every time.
No, we always say this. It's like no life. They have no life. They haven't seen outside in 10 years because they.
As we're sitting here talking about them on a podcast.
Yeah. Hey. No. I think it's impressive. Like, but you got to dedicate some time to becoming a speedrunner. Guys, you ready to get into the gameplay of things?
Let's do it.
Excellent.
I was trying to think of a fucking way over, but I started laughing. I told him he's excellent.
So the buttons for this game, the D-pad moves you left and right. Down is to duck. The B button is to jump. And the longer you hold the button, the higher you jump, as in most games. Y is to fire the guitar sound wave. The manual has a note to make the guitar sounds with mouth to supplement the effect. The manual's kind of funny in some stuff, so basically it's telling you to meow, make guitar noises. The A button is to activate the swing item, which is basically the clear all.
I had no idea that existed for like the first 30 minutes I was playing the game.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, me too. It was the same with me, and I think I may have even accidentally pressed it, and I was like, whoa, what was that?
I went 100% hit it by accident, and I was like, oh, what was that? How did I do that?
Well, you know, when you start a game, you have to go through and press all the buttons to see what they all do, right? Like, I think that's just what anyone does. Like, okay, what do all my buttons do? And you don't start off with a clear all to be like, oh, that's what it does. So you don't go back and press the buttons that don't do anything.
Right. You know? So it's like a dead button. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Just keep going.
There are several different power-ups that you can get in this. So the arrow pointing up is the swing item. And that's, again, like I said, the clear all attack. The thumbs up looking thing is the worthiness item, which is essentially your health. So if you lose all of these, then you're dead.
Not worthy.
Yeah, you're not. So, yeah, when you die, you start, you know, bowing down and we're not worthy, which is really funny. There's a lot of good sound clips from this in this game from the movie. They're good until they're not good after you've heard them 5,000 times.
I was going to say until like the 8 millionth time.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's the 20th time you hear we're not worthy, you're like, you're goddamn right, I'm not. The heart item is what gives you extra lives, and you start out with 5 lives right off the bat.
That'd be a one-up.
That's right. The power-ups are a little weird in this one. So there's like a 4-tier system to the power-ups in total. The first two are a giant A, which is axe guitar item. And that increases the playing rate by 2. So it shoots a little faster when you get that. The giant F is the PCB pre-corporate buyout. and that's the pre-corporate buyout item that increases the firing rate times 3. So that one just shoots it like a machine gun, which that's the best. If you can get the F and keep the F, keep it.
This is very like Contra vibes.
Yeah, it really does have some Contra vibes. So the amp power-up is the next tier of power-ups. And it's supposed to be a speaker, but when I was playing it, I thought it was supposed to, it was a bubble or something. And, you know, it makes sense that it's a speaker because, you know, this game is all about music and stuff. But if you get this power-up, it makes a bigger sound wave, which is the way to go, especially when you have the giant F or the PCB item that shoots 3 times, because then it shoots those big giant waves at 3 times speed. The
pre-corporate buyout?
Yeah. The distortion is like a little electric wave line thing, and then it just makes your projectile shots move in a wave pattern. I didn't really care for that one.
I'm learning that I should have read the manual, because I just charged forward with this game and I was like, what does this do? I don't know. It doesn't do anything. And then I was like, when I picked up one of these power-ups, right, and it was like the repeating one, and I was like, oh, I guess I should have been holding the fire button down the whole time. But I didn't realize it was because, I mean, it sounds so stupid. I didn't realize it was because I picked up a power-up. Because I was like, you know, I'm going to look up what all these mean at some point. And I just never did. But, you know, I'm learning a lot on this episode. I'm learning a lot.
And why would you think that the giant F is like a multiplier fire rate? Like, it doesn't, you know, I don't know, whatever.
I didn't know anything was supposed to be a pre-corporate buyout power-up. So, my new favorite power-up.
Right.
Yeah, that might be the most random power-up in any video game.
There's also another tier that has an 11 on it, which this is the mega amp power up. This is the one that gives you the giant sound waves, like the super big ones. But obviously 11.
Shout out to Spinal Tap.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it's kind of referencing, is turning it up all the way to 11. You also have the chorus power up, which this is like a spread shot of 3. Kind of very Contra feeling.
And this is like the, yeah, exactly.
Getting the spread shot on that one. But yeah, it's funny because it's the chorus. You know, chorus is like everyone wants to sing along on the chorus, so you get extra shots on it. I thought that was kind of funny.
Wow, that is a deep reference there. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just what I assumed. I'm probably way off and just looking too deep into it. And then my favorite power-up in this whole entire game, the Homer power-up. And it looks like a little blue bullseye. And basically, it's a heat-seeking attack. It's the best item in the game with the absolute worst sound.
Oh, I hate it.
Especially if you have that the pre-corporate buyout power-up with the 3x multiplier, because it's just awful. It is so awful. But it's the best weapon you got in this game.
So what's the power-up count? There's like 30?
Well, just with the different combinations you can get, like if you have the the distortion and then the amps and, you know, just it really depends on what you have. Now, if you get hit, you do lose the first power up, which is like the if you have the heat seeking thing and you get hit, if you have the heat seeking thing and the pre-corporate buyout, I'm going to say that every time now, you'll lose just the pre-corporate buyout item. So you'll still have the heat seeker item. But that sucks.
This makes it sound like the most complicated game ever created.
It does. But once you're playing it, it makes a lot more sense. And it's not as bad. But yeah. So the player hub in this is at the top. Starting from the far left, it has the score. Next to that, it says your power-ups that you have. So, for example, it may have the F and the 11. So that's the fast three-time shot with the large sound wave. So see, it's simple. It's not too complicated. Next, it'll show you how many swing attacks you have, how many lives you have next to that, and how many hits you have left. They just look like the items that you pick up. So, you know, your health looks like the thing in the top corner. So it's real easy. So when you start the game, you get a little title card. If you sit there long enough, it'll play the demo and it'll show the credits of the game, which I think is funny that the credits roll at the beginning with the demo and stuff, because I don't know many kids that could get past this game back in the day. They weren't going to see those credits. So I feel like the developers wanted to have their credit in there early on.
I couldn't get past this game and I'm old.
Right. So you press start and it gives you a real Wayne's World title screen. So it gives you a second title screen, but it's got the Wayne's World music and it's got a little bit of voiceover. It actually has some clips, like I said, from the movie. And you then get a sound clip of Party On, and it shows Wayne and Garth sitting in a black void. They're not sitting on a set or anything. It's just them two sitting on a couch. I had a really big problem with the sprites on this, because like Garth keeps like squatting and he looks his sprite looks really weird as he's talking, but it gives a lot of character bubbles of them explaining the story, and some of the text scrolls way too fast in this part. When I was playing, I could not keep up with it, but I'm a very slow reader, so
totally.
It's very hard to read.
Some of the text goes really fast and some of it goes really slow. I couldn't catch on to it.
I couldn't get over their detached heads from their body in these scenes.
Yes!
That's it was like clearly like the head was overlaid on the body.
Yes, and the colors were a little different. Like it's like they did, don't know. It bothered me too, so I'm glad I wasn't the only one that was bothered by that. Their bodies stay like in the same positions, but their heads move. It's really funny, and you can clearly see like where they cut it and pasted it. So they intro the show like normal. They even do the extreme close-up, which is pretty fun right away. You get the extreme close-ups of just their heads zooming into the camera. Get some of that Mode 7 going on. Now, it doesn't do that in the Sega version. That's a fun fact that I'm jumping to, but it doesn't do that kind of stuff in the Sega version of this game.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I got more of that in fun facts. So they give you a list of the top 10 worst games at Noah's Arcade. So it's all fictional games. And the number one game is the Xantar, the... I can't say that word. Gelatinous Cube. There we go.
Congratulations.
They explain how they were pulled into the video game, and they start telling you the crazy story of how they escaped. All the dialogue seems like it's something right from, you know, the sketches on Saturday Night Live. But it's so much dialogue. It is so long.
It's so much dialogue.
Holy cow. I started timing some of the dialogue sections because they are so long. And almost every section of dialogue is about 3 to 4 minutes long.
Oh, interesting. That's so long.
Yeah, especially if you're a kid, like, just let me play the game. I want to play the game. But they do the diddly thing to like transition into the actual game, which is pretty cool. I really, really like that.
Your impression was spot on.
Hey, thank you. The game just begins. There's no start menu. There's no options. There's no password. It just throws you straight into it, which is kind of neat, but I wish I had options for this.
What options are you looking for?
I don't know. A difficulty?
Turn it to easy?
A password? Like a level select option? You know, I don't know. Yeah.
They're not getting in this game. That's for sure.
So each stage, there's only four levels, but each stage has two to three levels within them. And then the final part of it being a boss battle. So all the stages within the level look the same. So everything in level one looks the same through all the stages. So we're not going to have to like break it down real, real hard, especially since this game is just one giant fucking maze. And you have no idea what direction to go.
No clue. In my experience, you should estimate to spend at least 6 hours per level.
Something like that. But yeah, it's real easy to get lost and just go in circles on these levels. So we'll just kind of break down the levels pretty quick and then, move on with it. So first, we've got level one, which is Kramer's Music Store. This one, you're being attacked by giant sentient instruments. In the background, there's a ton of the like aluminum rails that you see at concerts and stuff to hold up like the lights and stuff. It is everywhere in this stage. And you do see like light fixtures hanging from them. Further in the background, you see a brick wall with blue windows that say, it says sale on them backwards because you're in the store. And you can see people walking past the window, which is kind of a cool little effect.
I did not notice that, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, we like to pay attention to the little details when we can.
Yeah, could have been just me being super flustered with that level. So.
No, you're 100% right that if you didn't catch all the little things, I don't blame you one bit because it is so fucking frustrating.
I couldn't focus on anything but that stupid level.
Did you see the sign that says "No Stairway to Heaven"?
Yeah, I was waiting. I was just trying to pick my moment to say that when you were describing the level. That's the only thing
stairway
I noticed.
Denied.
There's such a... Look, if there's going to be one positive thing to say about this game, there's so many cool movie references in it.
Yeah, the game programmers, creators, whoever, really enjoyed the movie because there was a lot of good references in there.
Yeah, they just weren't good at making games.
No, well, they were just too caught up on the references to, you know,
right,
not give me a 20-hour level.
Right.
Every time I reference a level, I go up a little bit. If you haven't, I started off at like 3 hours and then six, and I'm at 20. But it's true. It took me at least 23 hours to get past the first level. So, oh,
man, it took. Yeah, it was the first level is so frustrating. So in this level, all the platforms are speakers and amps and stuff. Sometimes these amps have electricity zapping between the two of them too, and the hitbox for the electric is such a weird, wonky. You can get on the speakers and be like standing on the wrong pixel, and you'll get zapped by it.
You should be prepared to get hit by anything in this game.
Yeah.
At any moment, all the time. That's what I learned.
Yeah. So there are some bongos and other kind of drums that you can use to bounce up to different platforms. And there are some hanging instruments that do different things. Like some of the guitars will fall off the racks, and there's a trombone with the little slidey thing that'll come out and hit you. Now, Goobs, do you got a list of the enemies in level one?
Yes, I do. I got the rivals from level one, actually.
Oh, they're rivals, you say?
First, I got the deadly accordion. Dangerous expanding baffles. How unworthy. I got the bagpipe. Projectile tartan haggis balls launched from the hovering instrument. Angus is at it again. Well, these are some awesome write-ups here.
These are from the band, manual, right?
Yep. The band monster. Something to really fear. Wails headlessly. God damn, this is so 90s. The cello archer. Rapper fires destructive bows. Clarinet missiles launched from off screen. one hit and you're pale, my friend.
Hey, lots of things launch from off screen that this fucking game. Cheap ass, whatever. Okay, sorry.
Drums, excellent bounce action. Boing. Kazoos swarm around and home in and dive bomb in a kazoo sort of way. Kooky but cool.
Wait, are those the things that like fly around and hit you?
Yeah.
I thought those were like cymbals.
Nope, they're kazoos.
Well, son of a bitch. Regardless, they're bastards.
Oh my god, they're a source of frustration.
You'd be doing so good, like platforming around, and then all of a sudden these random motherfuckers would come out of nowhere and just get you.
Yeah, I would be like, I don't know, 32 hours into the level, and then they'd show up out of nowhere.
Sax mortar, fire spit gobs. It's putative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's a word, but whatever. Trombone grabber, reaches down and grabs. Not today, my saucy friend. Wires, touch them in your toast. A shocking prospect.
Yep. Oh, okay, so that makes sense of what the electricity is.
That's what that is. Yeah,
it's a bad wire. Okay, I just thought it was like electricity shooting from one amp to another.
I'm supposed to be reviewing this game with you guys, and I'm learning so much about this game.
Yeah, that's why you always read the manual, but after you play, that way you can be like, oh, that makes sense.
If only I knew that 43 hours ago.
The number keeps growing. Is that all of them, Goops?
Yes, that is all. For this level, I'll be back.
So, after you get through this level, so there's three levels in this one, and then a final boss. The boss looks like a mechanical snake with a guitar body. So I guess I picture
that. It looks like anal beads.
It could be that too, but it's it uses like the head of the guitar is the head of the snake thing, and then the neck of the guitar is it like curves like a snake body, and then the body of the guitar is where you want to shoot. It's got a little purple spot on there that you have to hit a bunch of times to kill this stupid thing.
Yeah, that's where the gem goes where it sticks out of your asshole.
Fair. This is not a butt plug.
Accurate.
I want. this thing has several attacks that it does. It shoots little blue balls at you. It pecks at you. It shoots a blue laser. And it moves up and down on the right side of the screen. So you can kind of jump up on platforms and kind of avoid most of the shots. Once you beat him, you get one of those long-ass cutscenes that I was talking about. Look, I'm complaining about how long the cutscenes are, but they're fun.
Bodacious. Bodacious, bro. Bodacious.
Dweeb. Dweeb. You're a dweeb. So it explains more of the story that's going on. And it says dweeb a bunch. I think it's this first one that they're calling each other dweeb for like way too long to where it's almost not funny. Like I imagine myself watching the Saturday Night Live sketch of them doing this. And I was like, yeah, no one's laughing at this point because they've been doing it so long. But we do get a cool cutscene of them doing the Bohemian Rhapsody part in the movie where they're in the car.
Oh,
and they're
so
hipping.
Awesome.
You know, I saw some reviews that said that they hated how the song sounded. I thought the song was fucking cool. I don't know about you guys.
I thought it sounded okay.
The song is always cool. I think that's first and foremost.
I think that's probably what it was. Maybe I'm jaded because I like the song. And
just to have that iconic scene in the game was just,
right.
Whatever, let it happen.
And it shows them headbanging and stuff. It is missing one of the guys in the back seat, I noticed.
Yeah, Phil?
It's only got the two guys that are in there originally, but...
If you're going to spew into this.
But yeah, like I said, this entire cutscene is like about 3 minutes long. But then we can move on to level two, which level two is Stan Makita's Donut Shop.
Well, I'm glad someone got to level two in the world.
For some reason in this level, you're shrunken down, which you did get sucked into a video game, so that's fine, but you're shrunken down, you're the size of the coffee cups, and you actually use a lot of the styrofoam coffee cups as platforms. There's hot stoves that shoot up fire, There's
donuts.
Sugar cubes. There's sugar cubes that fall on you. There's coffee creamers. We've got some deep fry things that have like hot grease monsters sticking out and shooting grease at you.
Grease daddies.
Yeah, grease daddies. Everything in this level is just brown and ugly. This is not a nice looking level at all. It's just...
No, you're in a fucking shitty diner in Chicago.
Yeah. Goobs, you want to tell us all the enemies real quick?
Well, the owner wants to choke a man. Yeah, I'll tell you about the enemies on level 2. Well, first of all, we got coffee cups, not really enemy. But they lurk and they spew, diabolical. Creamers, up, up, and away.
Jesus.
Oh my god. High bounce-osity. Crueler. Roll out the crueler. I love crulers, man. They're a good fucking donut.
They are a good donut.
Donut monster. Hawk's donut gobs. That sounds fucking wrong. I don't like that.
No, not
donut at all. Whirlwind. Whirls and picks up stuff. As if. Falling sugar cubes. Could have used a sorbet to help cleanse the palate. Grease, hot and burning, not to mention putrid. Grease donut monster can get you bad. If you get sick, go see a doctor, my friend. And then steam blast. More hot and burning could leave you comatose.
The manual's just so good. Like, it adds another, like, layer of characters and like, fun from the show, you know? It just, it feels like it definitely fits in with the,
At least you get to fight the donut man that Garth made.
Mr. Donut Head Man?
Yes.
Yeah. He's walking around the stage. It's pretty funny. You would think that would be the boss, but no, sadly.
No, you get the cummy dummy.
Yeah, you get this. It's a giant donut monster that flies around, and it
looks like it has a fucking dick hanging off of it. Come on, guys, let's be honest here. 100%, it has a head.
Yeah,
it drips fucking cum out of it. Like, it's brown, but it's still cum.
Hey, like, it's not the only like cummy looking gross monster in this. I kind of thought it was a butthole, and it was like diarrhea. I think it's supposed to be coffee. Like, I think it's supposed to be coffee coming out of the donut.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that would track being at, you know, Stan Makita's donut shop, but
right.
I kind of like where you guys are going instead. Check the manual. It's got to be in the manual.
You're right. So it flies around and it tries to hit you with its body, and it throws up the coffee, and then it also has these red balls it shoots at you. But that's it. I mean, there's nothing crazy about it. It kind of reminds me, like, the animation of it kind of reminds me of, like, a Vector Man boss, if you ever played Vector Man.
Oh, yeah, it kind of looks like that.
Because it's like, you know how Vector Man, like, he's, like, the little balls and stuff that are, they're together, but they're not? That's kind of what the Donut Man, this donut monster thing is, kind of Vector Man looking. But in this level, there's only two stages in it, and then you fight the boss. And then you get a cutscene, again, long-ass cutscene. They do the Grey Poupon joke, you know, when he pulls up and he's like, do you have any Grey Poupon? But they changed the joke for some reason. They changed the punchline to mustard.
Oh, they probably didn't have the licensing to say Grey Poupon,
oh,
right?
Oh, you're right. That's probably right.
Yeah, it's a licensed product.
Oh. Yeah, see, I was like... Why even put that in the game if you're not gonna have the right joke? You know, there's plenty of stuff they could whatever.
Now, yeah, plenty of scenes they could have pulled from.
Yeah, I'm just complaining as a fanboy now. Anyways, let's move on to the next level. The next level is the Gasworks, and this one just looks like a shitty rundown bar with a ton of arcade machines. And when I say like these levels, they're not linear. They're all over the place. Like, you go up, you go down, you may go down two platforms and then go back up, you know. It's not just a straightforward, so it's...
And there's no indication of where you should go.
No arrows, nothing. And
nothing.
You will travel in circles, and especially in this, when I got to this level, I got stuck in a really bad loop to where I had to start trying to memorize the things that I was seeing. Like, okay, when I see the bar stools here and I see this, then I know I need to go right instead of up. It's very.
But then there's like 700 Barstools, and you'll never figure it out.
Right. Now, there's one positive we haven't talked about. There's no respawns with the enemies. Which
that's true
makes it so much easier, because if you are going in circles constantly, then that's one less thing you have to worry about. But then you don't have that marker to be like, oh, when I see this, I know that I need to go up or down or left or right, whatever. So,
and also, you when you're like jumping through these levels, you know, you if you jump too high, you get hit by everything too.
Yes, yes, from the levels above you.
Yes, from those above you, like, this is the worst maze on the whole planet.
Yeah, yeah. It fucking sucks.
So, this, like I said, that you're in a bar, there's a different arcade machines. There's like two or three different arcade machines throughout the bar. There's pool tables, air hockey tables. There's fire coming from the ground, you know, like all typical bars. There's just fucking fire.
Well,
there's
a gas works.
Oh, that makes more sense. A little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. This one, the bar stools are what you want to jump on to, like, launch you. They bounce for some reason. These bar stools do to get you up to the higher platforms. There's some areas that have some disco floors with lighting that flickers and stuff, which that's, you know, kind of a hint of what's about to come. For the that get thrown at you, this is kind of a cool effect, but it's really annoying. So, like, foreground, and there's like a dartboard on the wall, so you know where the darts are gonna land. It's a really cool effect. It's just I would rather not be hit with darts and lose all my lives.
But you're right; it is neat. It's kind of an interesting concept, right? Like, it's coming from how it's being thrown at it.
It took me so long to figure out the pattern. I'm convinced that it throws three darts and then you can walk past it. That's what I think I finally figured out.
Well, I think the yellow ones go faster than the blue.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that. That may have been why I couldn't figure out the pattern, because the whole time I was like, I can't figure this out. Why do I keep getting hit
by this?
One
definitely goes faster than the other.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I didn't realize there was different color ones.
But it's the opposite of the Ninja Turtles, where you're whipping foot soldiers, and now you're getting shit thrown at you.
Right.
So I imagine it's Shredder back there trying to throw it at Wayne for whatever reason. Cowabunga!
Love it. What are the enemies in this one, Goobs?
Well, for the enemies, we got some special enemies this one. We got Barstools, again with the bouncing, a top 10 enemy. Not Beatles. Who's the quiet one again? Fucking shitty Beatles. Bouncer, a very large man who could hurt you. Hold on to your hurl. The bouncer is absolutely, he's a thick boy.
He is a thick ass boy.
Darts, dangerous, yes, but only to a point. Disco balls, shoot out destructive rays and Barry Manilow flashbacks.
The disco balls are a bitch.
Gas jets, shoots plumes of fire. Woo, flammable. Headbanger, excellent cranial motion. Heavy metal head, don't touch his fiery tongue. The kiss of doom. Psycho hose beast, what a babe fest. Not.
Hi, Wang.
There's your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
She brought you a gun rack once.
I don't even own a gun, let alone many guns, that would necessitate a gun rack. What am I going to do with a gun rack?
It's funny because, you know, she shoots little hearts at you. And well, she says something. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. I think she goes, Wayne. Wayne.
Yeah, she just yells your name.
Hi, Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
Rock and roll boot. Stomps out gimps. That's not right. Yellow sub fires homer torpedoes. John is the father, Paul is the mother, Ringo is the child, but I just digress.
The manual's so great in this game. Yeah, oh yeah, the yellow submarine that comes down. At first I was like, why the fuck is there a yellow submarine? And then I remembered the shitty Beatles. Or if you watch the edited version, the lame Beatles. And I think it says lame Beatles in this game too.
How did you get stuck watching the edited version?
No, I actually, long story short, I watched some other stuff about Wayne's World, like the making of and stuff. I got really into this one, guys. Sorry.
But I like it. I'm digging it.
Yeah, I learned way too much about Wayne's World that I didn't know before.
Excellent.
All right. Well, on to the boss of this one. It's Elvis. Elvis is on the disco dance floor for whatever reason, and he's got like an attack where I know what he's supposed to be doing, but it doesn't look like what he's doing. He's wiping his head off and like slinging sweat at you. It just,
yeah, sweat, sure.
Exactly. It just looks like he's throwing jizz at you. He's just
jelly donuts.
Yeah, he's like the guy from Silence of the Lambs that throws the fucking cum for Jodie Foster at the beginning.
It's really kind of gross looking, and it's white. Like, it doesn't help its case that it's white. But he also shoots lasers from his eyes, and he does this like butt slam on the ground, and there's some platforms for you to jump on. And every time he gets hit or something, he goes, "Thank you very much.
Thank you very much."
Oh, and he can teleport too. So
we're still not sure why he's the boss of Gasworks, right?
No. No.
Nothing in the manual?
I wish.
I don't think there's a single Elvis reference in the whole movie, right?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Maybe because they couldn't want to get sued if they did the Beatles. Like,
but they had a yellow submarine. They did like a,
yeah, but like, you can have a yellow submarine,
I guess.
Quote unquote.
That was for the lame Beatles.
I'm surprised it wasn't like four Beatles or something that attacked you or something. I don't, whatever.
Or just fight your ex.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fine.
Or the Jolly Green Giants, right? Wasn't that the other band that was opening up?
Yep.
That would have been fun.
Now, that would have been a good boss.
Yeah. So this entire level is three stages. And then
or just a big metal head.
Yeah, that would have been fine, too.
Like the one that blocks Garth in the mosh pit.
Yeah, the security guard.
Excuse me, I'd like to get by now.
A security guard, yeah, why not? That's simple. So this level is three stages and then the boss that we just talked about.
Did we talk about how, like, how when you go through this level and it goes from, or like all levels, right, and it goes from stage to stage, it just, like, you hit a point in the level where, like, it randomly sends you to the next part? It's like, there's like no rhyme or reason of like, okay, now I'm going to part two of this level.
Yeah, you run into Garth, and then the purple hand grabs him, like a giant purple hand reaches over and grabs him and pulls him off screen, and then it just starts into the next same level, the same kind of stage until you get to the boss fight.
I thought the level was starting over the first time that happened to me.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There was a part in this Gasworks level. I think it was the Gasworks level. Anyways, I got to the end of the stage and I had one hit left. And there's a stage where you just have to take a hit for some reason, and it killed me.
There's a few of those throughout this game.
I was so mad because I was so excited because I had was a long battle on this stage, and like you can see it in my face, like I'm so excited. And then when I realized I died because he starts going, "We're not worthy," I was like, "No, wait, what? What hit me?" I had to go back and watch the stream to see what got me. Nothing did. Fucking game developers. Anyways, we can move on to level 4, Suburbia. This level is the nightmare of Suburban Street. It sort of looks like the same sprites that were used for like the Beethoven game on Super Nintendo Goobs. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But
yeah, 100% it does.
But it's just a nightmare. Like there's... It's like Toe Jam and Earl meets the Beethoven game because everything's like floating around and stuff. It's just weird. There's a bunch of weird trees, mailboxes with enemies in them, floating trash cans that you can bounce on, fire hydrants, sprinklers that shoot water, pink houses, and in the deep background you can see a bunch of clouds moving and you can see pink and blue houses just way off in the distance in the background. There's a sign that has like a music symbol with when it's crossed out, like no music. And there's signs that's on the picket fence that say keep off the grass and no hurling. There's a little laser thing. It's just very weird and wacky. It's gotten real wacky.
Well, it gets even more weird when we get to the enemies. I'm going to repeat some of the things you just said.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
I'm going to read it
from
the manual here.
Isn't the Suck-Cut guy in it?
I was just going to get to that.
Oh, all right.
First of all, there's ducks. Get the net. So dumb. Garbage cans. Bounce action again. Reminiscent of soup. Whiff. Whatever the fuck that means. Lawn sprinklers. We're swinging in the rain. Mailboxes. Generally larger and more aggressive than female boxes. Pardon me.
So dumb.
Oh, I would have made that joke myself. Fuck.
It's so dumb. You got dumb, the suck cut guy.
Not my hair, you gimp. What is them calling people gimps?
I don't know.
Wires. Remember these from the music store?
Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed, fry again. Yeah, that's it.
Well, the boss in this one is Xantar, the gelatinous cube.
Hey, you said it right.
I said it right. It is a giant purple cube, which it's not really cube-shaped. It's more rectangle, but, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Whatever. But Garth is in the middle of this this cube. So it just moves back and forth on the screen. And every once in a while, it'll say, "Ow!" And I don't know if it's Garth saying it or if it's the cube.
Ow.
I think it's Garth, right? Because it's kind of like when he lands on his keys. That was like, that's what I thought the audio was from. When he's like, ow.
You know what? You might be right. Yeah. So it jumps back and forth and it shoots pink balls at you from the top of it. They come out of the top of it.
So Goobs, what sexual weird thing is this thing doing to us? Each boss you've noticed has some sort of, you know, kink going on.
Yeah, this is like when people put like Ziploc bags over their head.
You know what? I got your sexual reference in this one because off the side of it, there's a fist that tries to punch you, but it's not trying to punch you.
Oh, fisting.
See, I thought it was trying to jerk you. Why not?
It could. Have you ever been jerked off with a handful of Jello?
Well, if you don't like that, it's also got the mouth that like comes out and tries to bite you. So
that'd be a fucking weird feeling.
Gelatinous cube biting your...
No, just J-O with a handful of Jello.
And this is Thoughts with Goobs.
Coming swinging, folks.
Yeah. It also shoots like a little like arrow out of the bottom of it every once in a while. It's really not a tough battle. It goes pretty quick. It's just annoying getting to this final battle. And once you defeat it, you know, you get another 4 to 5 minute cutscene, and then the game's over. There's an eyeball on it too. I forgot to mention there's an eyeball that you have to shoot at to kill it. It kind of reminded me of the Clay Fighter character Blob.
Yeah, kind of.
Just especially like with its fist that comes out and hits you and stuff. But yeah, you beat him, you get the long-ass cutscene, and that's the game. Did we miss anything? Is there anything we need to talk about before we move on?
I think the only thing we didn't touch on was that it's a relatively short game. Like, you can be done in, I don't know, 80 to 90
like 40
hours.
Think.
Yeah.
80 to 90 hours.
It's relatively short.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to take vacation days off of work to play it.
Right.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's not that it's a long game. It's fairly short, but it's just the fact that you get lost so easily and then everything hurts you and it's so easy. I think the backgrounds are too busy sometimes where enemies get lost in them. I don't know if you guys had that problem, but I felt like I did.
It's more like me getting lost in the levels.
I never made out of level one, really, so, you know. I guess I can't really give too much feedback on the other ones because I'm still at Kermit's Music Store. 312 hours later.
Toby got mad because he's playing live on stream, and I'm like, I'm just playing the game, and I'm like, I'm done. He's like, what the fuck you mean you're done?
Yeah, I got a little heated because, well, first off, he was playing the wrong game, and I'd already been playing for like 45 minutes, and when he got on my stream, he's like, oh, I'm playing the wrong game. And then he started playing the right one, and he was like, okay, well, I've already beat the first boss, and I wasn't even at the first boss yet. So I was super pissed off. So, yeah, it's very hard. It's
yeah, you called me a cocksucker.
Okay, well, let's talk about the music of this game. What did you guys think of the music?
Go ahead, Joey.
Let's see, where should I start with the music? I thought it wasn't bad, right? It kind of gave me like, it kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a lot of nostalgia vibes, right? And I thought it was decent. But also, I will admit, after like the 300th excellent, I did turn the volume down.
Yeah.
So I only heard like not, the music.
Not.
Yeah. Excellent. Yes, the not and the excellent. So once I heard that, you know, 300 to 400 times, I was only like 312 hours into the game. That's when I turned. that's when I muted it. So.
Wow, that was a big jump from 80 to 90. So,
I got lost in the music store. I mean, what can I say?
There's no clocks there.
No clocks, no stairway. Denied. So, full disclosure, the music, I liked it for the brief time I listened, because I did turn the sound down for a while.
At least you're honest. After I play through a game, the next time I play through, I mostly play to my own music. Just so you know.
Well,
it's not a bad thing.
Honestly, the music in this, there's some stuff that's decent. It's not terrible, but I have a problem with it being Wayne's World, who is very heavily influenced by music. That's what the whole thing is about. And we don't really get good music. So that's kind of
hell. Rock and Roll Racing had more fucking tracks than Wayne's World did.
It's funny that you bring that up, because that's one of my notes. Is like, why couldn't we get some, like, I know we couldn't get the music from Rock and Roll Racing, but like, why couldn't they do something like that? Like, you'd think, I don't know. They reference so much music in the movie, and something I read said something about the soundtrack was like one of the best selling of that year or something like that.
Fuck for, yeah, it is.
Because it's a badass soundtrack. So it makes
for the movie. You're talking for the movie,
yes,
right?
Yes, for the movie.
I had it on cassette.
Yeah, see.
So I contributed to the sales. I don't even care. I had it. I wish I had it right now, because I'd pop it in right now.
Yeah, no, it's a solid soundtrack. It's 100% a solid soundtrack. So I think I'm disappointed more than like I hated it. Like, yeah. The sound effects can get old, like you said. Excellent.
Oh, the fucking homing.
Oh, yeah, that homing
the
noise.
The sound effects are pretty fucking bad. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Straight up, that's part of my problem with this game, is the sound effects alone.
Well, see, you're saying that, but that's one side of the coin, is like, oh, the sound effects are bad. But then you have the other side where it's like, it's actually got voiceover quotes from the movie. Like, you know, it's pretty
they're
cool.
Overplayed. Like,
they are.
How many times, every time you get hit, nut.
Well, hold on. You know what? What makes it really funny is like, because I was talking on stream and stuff, and I'd be like, oh, I fucking hate when this happens on the game. And then I'd go, yeah. And it was kind of funny that like anytime I said anything, like I'd be like, yeah, I really like the Mega Man games. And then I'd get hit. Not. And like, it was always the perfect timing. And it's pretty funny. Like, if you're just talking while you're playing it. But yeah, I have a love hate with this, the sound effects and the music in this. So I wasn't impressed. Let's just put it that way.
I'm starting to get the feeling that this game was developed on a really shoestring budget, right? I mean, not licensing music, not licensing Grey Poupon. I mean, come on.
Right. Or not being, they could have just been punk rock and just did put Grey Poupon and not worried about it, you know?
Yeah, like, they're going to check.
Exactly.
The big Grey Poupon's going to check out this game. But yeah,
big mustard.
The music was decent. Sound effects, not so much.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. We've talked in great length about music. I'm sure we will later on as well.
Right. What about the graphics? What do you think of the graphics, guys?
I'll jump on this pony first. The big head fucking Wayne running through random jumbled levels full of shit. So... sure, there is show and movie references all throughout. And that's great. The graphics on those are fine. Like, the submarine's pretty cool, and Elvis throwing jizz at you is a sprite.
It's there.
Garth, like Toby mentioned earlier, is kind of fucking jacked looking. He looks like a fucking weird, like, troll puppet thing. I don't get it, what they did to Garth, but, Wayne, just his big stupid head flying around everywhere. I don't know if I like it, to be honest with you. It's funny looking, but, like, it gets kind of old after a little bit. It's a big hitbox, man. It's a big fucking hitbox. The levels...
That's true.
Like, the windows in the first level, the people walking by, I did notice that, as so did Toby. But then after that, there's not really much to look at. Like, the gas works is just fucking brick walls. The outdoors is stolen from Beethoven. It's not really much going on graphics department in this game.
No, they really hung their head on putting that big head Wayne there.
Well, the cutscenes, they did do a good job on the cutscenes. I'll give them that.
Maybe that's why they're so long.
So, I actually liked the big head sprites. I don't know if I'm alone on that, but I liked the big head sprites. I thought it was definitely like a Wayne's World charm. I don't think it would work with other games, but I think it works in this game.
I liked it for like the first 80 to 90 hours, but after that I got a little tired of it.
My biggest peeve though is that Wayne and Garth are the only ones that have the heads like that, and his girlfriend. All the other characters don't have heads like that. Like, even the what's the haircut guy? What is,
the suck cut
the
guy.
The
suck and cut guy, yeah. Like, he doesn't have his face in it. I just wish all the human characters had big heads like that, too.
Yeah, if they all have the same aesthetic, that'd be fine.
Yeah, and that's where I think it was a little jarring to see, like, the human characters in the bar level with just cartoony looking heads and stuff. What about the controls? What do you think of the controls?
Well, I think if I read the manual and I knew what all the buttons did up front, then I would say it wasn't that bad. But, you know, I didn't know what is the big move? Like the swing move?
Oh.
Does it have a name?
I think it's just called the swing thing.
The swing thing?
Yeah.
I'll go with it. I didn't even know that it existed for, like I said, the first 20 to 30 hours. And then once I figured it out, I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool thing.
Right, yeah. It's very helpful.
And then the jumping mechanics, they seem kind of like on brand for Super Nintendo, right? A lot of games. But I like there were some jumps that I knew were possible, but I couldn't get them, like some of the higher jumps to like get onto whatever the bridge to get one of the 5,000 upgrades,
right?
And and I could never get a couple of them to work, so just like clunky, right? Like good but clunky, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. One of my peeves for this was the jumping and shooting your weapon. Because
it had like a delay, didn't it?
Yeah, because he has to spin his arm. I can't think of who used to do that, but like he has to spin his arm like the musician and like strum the guitar. So like if you do it, there's definitely a delay. It's really, really bad. So it's really hard to jump and shoot at enemies.
I hate that animation as well, going back to graphics. Why do you fucking have to do that? Just let me strum quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does when he's on the ground, so I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's because he's jumping, and it's the reference that it's making, but do the animation.
Yeah, we're not all Eddie Van fucking Halen over here.
I just don't understand why it has to have the delay. Like, why can't it just do the animation but be fast, you know? That's... And yeah, you...
Yeah, because then you have to, like, time the jump with the shot. It took me, like...
That is totally why they did it. You guys are realizing you keep saying jump, right?
Yeah.
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 Just go ahead and jump.
I like how you just say it so matter-of-factly. Just go ahead and jump.
Oh, because it just clicked into my head now. Like, fucking Christ. That's so, like, low-hanging fruit. Fucking Wayne's World. God
damn it. I didn't get it till just now, so.
Yeah, no, neither did I. That's why I'm fucking disappointed in myself.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, controls were, they were fine. You know, just a few things that were annoying. The hitboxes make it hard to control, like, but it's mostly the jumping and the shooting that's the pain in the ass for the controls.
The jumping, so bad.
Yeah, they were okay for the most part. There's no major complaints about the controls, besides the one that we just mentioned about the jump.
Right.
Just jump.
Just
go ahead and jump. fuck, Toby, I just found this white guitar.
Yeah?
At this music store. I gotta go run and pick it up from all of our sponsor money.
Is it your Excalibur?
Yeah, man, it's fucking sick.
Dude, that's rad. Yeah, go.
All of our sponsor money from RetroPopRelics.com.
Yeah, dude, be my guest. Go get it. Me and Joey, we'll hang out here for a minute and wait on
you. Oh, is that Joey from RetroPopRelics.com?
That is him. He does the finest 3D printed goods that you can buy on the internet.
That's at RetroPopRelics.com, right?
Yes, yes, it is.
We're not selling out at all, folks.
No. Yeah, go get your guitar, Goobs. We'll be here.
Swing!
You forgot to mention they'll also be available at Stan Makita's Donuts.
Well, Joey, I'm a big vinyl collector. Like, I collect vinyls and stuff. Have you ever actually listened to the Shitty Beatles? I have it on vinyl right here.
Oh, you do? No, I don't think I ever have.
Yeah, no, it's actually...
I missed them at the Gasworks, and I never had a chance to listen to them ever again.
I get it. The record's really good. It's a special blue vinyl. I'm really excited about showing you this. Let's just go ahead and put it on the table here and put the needle down.
All right, let's check this out.
Ooh. This isn't the right song. Hold on, let me move the needle real quick and try to get it on a different... Here we go. Nope, not this one either. Hold on. We're going to move it one last time. This one is going to be the song, I promise. Here we go.
Ooh, Toby digging the fields forever. Ooh.
What the hell is... This isn't my Shitty Beatles vinyl. What is
the... Ooh, it's the Shitty Genie. Ooh.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Joey, this is the Goob's Genie. I'm so sorry. He does this to me all the time. Where's my vinyl at?
Ooh, that's my cock ring. Look at...
Oh, you know what? Just, you can keep that. Hey, Goob Genie, what are you doing here?
Ooh, I was just serenading you with some wonderful tunes. Ooh. Yeah.
You know, Joey, this is what our promo code for RetroPopRelics.com is for. It's Genie, based on him.
Ooh, nice to meet you, Joey.
Oh, nice to meet you. I thought it was the Lame Beatles was the code, but this is even better.
Yeah. No.
Ooh, we're going to have a discussion about this shortly, most selling out. Ooh, right after I do my job.
We'll talk about the promo codes and stuff later, Goob's Genie. Have you ever played the Wayne's World game?
Oh, totally.
Oh, do you have any cheats for the game? That would be really, really excellent.
Oh, yes, I do, you potatious bastard. Ooh. Oh, it's a good thing.
Uh-oh. What does that mean?
To select any level of Wayne's World, ooh. Wait until Wayne and Garth appear on the screen and begin to sing, ooh. Simultaneously press and hold buttons X, L, and R, ooh. Then release them. Next, simultaneously press up Y and B, ooh. If we did this right, a stage select will appear. Hit select and should cycle through the levels, ooh. Go where you want to go. You can go your own way, ooh.
Damn, Joey, you didn't have to put 472 hours into this game. You could have just done a level select.
You know, I wish I would have known that, because, I mean, you know, I've only got 3 weeks into the game.
If you just pay the genie, ooh. You didn't pay the genie toll.
Oh. He used Genie's name. You don't pay the Genie. Ooh.
We do owe him royalties now. Does that fall on us or does that fall on you?
I think you just bill it to the Wayne's World game producer.
Ooh, the Genie never sells out. Ooh. The Genie uses blue shoes. The only thing that gets the Genie hard. Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, speaking of hard, it's never hard while I'm sleeping on my couch or mattress. Ooh. After that, I shaved the Genie's pubes with my Manscaped. Ooh, use code Genie. We're at all these places. Ooh. Now wake up. I have some magic spoon. Ooh. Would you like my magic spoon? Look at my dick. It looks like a spoon.
No,
ooh.
No, I don't want any of this stuff. Are you pitching stuff right now?
And then for dinner, no, the Genie never sells out. Ooh. And then for dinner, I have HelloFresh. Like, hello,
what?
Toby.
You know what? Just, you know, take your corporate sponsors and get out of here. We don't need this crap stinking up this room. Please just leave, Goop Genie.
Ooh, here, take these pills. A little blue, different.
Get out of here. I don't need these. I'm perfectly fine without these. Go.
Take them and turn the base up. Peace, bitches. Don't use my code at discount.
Joey, I'm sorry about that. I didn't know he was gonna try to hawk all this crap. Like it all, that's none of that's good quality products like Retro Pop Relics, and we're not sellouts either. I can assure you.
You know, it's like people only do things because they get paid,
right?
And that's just really sad.
It is really sad. I don't understand. You know, I'm so sorry about all that. We are not sellouts.
Fuck.
Oh, hey, Goobs.
I got the guitar out of the fucking cabinet, fucking dropped it. Joey, I'm going to need some more of that sponsor money, man.
Hey, guys, let's not worry about that right now. Do y'all want to hear some fun facts?
It's time for Fun Facts with Toby. Pring!
This is everyone's favorite game show. This is...
How Much Is This Game?
This is a game show where Goobs.
That's me.
And Joey.
That's me. Not.
Are going to try to guess the price of this game. They get the $5 window.
Shows us all hands.
And if they're within those $5, they get the sound effect. Are you guys ready?
I thought if we got it right, we'd get $5,000.
got $5,000.
We'll talk to our billing department and
we'll talk to our sponsor, which is you. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it might be $5 then. I am not Frankie Sharp of Sharp Records, okay?
Good luck.
All right. We're going to do a loose cartridge, Super Nintendo cartridge. Joey, you can pick if you want to go first or second. Do you want to go first, ooh, or do you want to Price is Right his bitch ass?
I'm no help to you.
I gotta go. I always play Price is Right rules, so
awesome.
I will go. I'll go second.
Goobs, you go first.
You coward.
What are you talking about? You were gonna Price is Right him.
we don't know that.
What are you guessing for a loose Super Nintendo Wayne's World cartridge?
Fucking $12.
$12. You were close. Joey.
With or without the manual?
No, this is just
This is just loose. Loosey goosey.
I know, but the manual, we talked about it for, you know.
Oh, that's for an hour. The next one.
Yeah, but if it was worth it, it would bump it up a little. But we're just saying we found this
just loose cartridge. Yeah. Super Nintendo. $20.
Ooh, this is interesting, guys. So you were both close because loose cartridge goes for $15.
Ooh.
Now
we both got it.
Yeah.
No, I went over. The price is right. Closest to the price without going over.
It's the $5 window, man. Each way.
But
Goobs, Bob Barker wouldn't approve.
Goobs kind of got closer, so I think this is technically Goob's sound effect number, but you can share it because you were still...
I'll share it with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swing.
All right. Now, complete...
Do we need to change it to a swing?
You have to.
So, complete in box. That means you get the box, the manual, and the cartridge itself. How much do you think this is going for? Goob's, you going first again?
Oh, no, I won last round, so Joey goes first.
Oh.
Ooh, all right. All right, CIB complete in box. Let's see.
Yep.
Let's see, Googles.
No, I'm really not. I'm really not Googling it.
Wow. You know how much it sucks not being able to look up prices of video games? Because I might review this one day. Like, that's why I can't buy video games, because I know how much it's worth.
Oh, man. I don't know. $80.
$80. You were close. Good guess. Goobs, what do you think?
I don't know, man. Wayne's World's pretty popular. I think I might blow this out of the atmosphere. I'm going to go fucking 97.
97. Ooh, you were close. That's a good guess, too. Because this game, complete in box, is going for $51.
I was going to say $50, but then you always fuck with me. You got my head so fucked up on this show.
I'm going to go ahead and just tell you the prices of the other versions real quick. The Sega Genesis.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think the Nintendo one, if I remember correctly, it's really expensive. That's the only thing I know about this.
It is. Okay, so Sega Genesis is $19 loose and $42 complete in box. The Game Boy loose is $106 and complete in box. I don't know if this is correct, but what I saw, complete in box, it goes for $600.
Holy fuck.
Now, the NES loose is $196. And complete in box, it's going for $486.
God damn.
So if you see a cheap NES Wayne's World, you better pick it up.
Or on Game Boy, fuck.
Yeah. So, who would have thunk it?
God damn, I'm blown away.
You should be.
Wayne.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So, some other fun facts I've got for you guys. I wanted to tell you some of the differences from the Super Nintendo to the Genesis version. So, on the Super Nintendo, the intro, when it does the extreme close-up, it actually does the zoom-in. I talked about this earlier. It does not do the extreme close-up zoom-in on Sega. So, that's one point for Nintendo, Super Nintendo.
Excellent.
The player hub on the Sega version is a solid black strip at the top, and you can actually see the icons, and they're pretty much the same, but on the Super Nintendo, it actually sits on top of the actual gameplay, which I prefer those better. I don't like black bars at the top of the screen, so in my opinion, that's a point for Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo is in the first level, the stereo platforms you jump on. So there's like a... I don't know music stuff, but like, there's a bunch of lights and stuff like on the equipment that flickers and stuff. It does not do that on the Genesis version. So there's little details like that, like lights flickering and stuff that don't happen on the Genesis. On the Super Nintendo, the windows in the background of that first level. Remember, I told you can see silhouettes of people walking by. It's not in the Genesis version. The battle with Elvis on the Super Nintendo, the floor lights up, and it's kind of like a strobe light because it's a disco floor. It does not do that on the Genesis version.
Why even play it?
Right, for that alone. A weird thing, too, with Elvis on that level is he's blue in the Genesis version for some reason. His skin is blue.
Yeah, because his blue suede shoes took over. Or he's dead.
That's kind of where I was heading with
Well,
that.
It is funny because like his head turns into a skull when you defeat him.
Yeah,
he
does.
I don't know if y'all noticed that, but yeah.
I noticed that, and that actually reminded me that's exactly what happened in the movie, too.
Right. I remember that very vividly. So when you beat a level on the Super Nintendo, like once you beat the boss and stuff or go into the next level, you get the the effect where it looks wavy and stuff, that transition. They don't do that on the Sega Genesis version. And the heat-seeking sound effect that we talked about hating so much because it's annoying.
It's worse on Sega.
So much worse on Sega. And there's a time limit on the Sega version that's not present on the Super Nintendo version.
It sounds like I don't want to fucking touch this game whatsoever.
Now, it's a 500-second time limit, so it's a lot of time, but...
Well, hang on a second. Have you played this game? That might not be enough time.
I mean, it did take you 536 years to beat.
Right, and then we're talking about just getting past one level. I mean, that counter would have broke many, many years ago.
So, when you use the clear all on the Super Nintendo,
the swing thing.
Yeah, when you use the swing thing on Sega Genesis, the entire screen turns white, and it's kind of got a little bit of a cooler effect when it does it. And on the Super Nintendo, it flashes white, but you can still see your Wayne sprite there. Like on the Genesis, you don't see anything. It's a white screen. I kind of like it better on Sega, but that's the only point that I'm going to be able to give it to Sega. And then also on the Sega, when you beat a level, your little clear all items that you have collected, you lose them when you go to the next stage.
Yo, fuck that.
Yeah.
Now, on the Super Nintendo...
You need all the help you can get on this game.
Right. On the Super Nintendo, you keep them, but when you go to the next level, so like when you go from the music store to the donut store, you lose your power-ups, your clear-alls, moving from that stage to that stage. But if you're within the same level from each stage, you keep your power-ups. So, we talked about the NES version a little bit. I don't want to talk too much about the NES version, but it's got a different story. Wayne and Garth are trying to stop the rich producer from buying their show, and there's time limit for all the stages. Wayne does karate moves. You actually get to play as Garth, and he shoots the 4,000-volt laser gun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
This is the one that Goobs played for a little while.
And they don't have big heads.
Yeah.
This one sounds more in line with like the storyline of the movie.
It really is, because you start out at a Kramer's music store and you actually have to get Excalibur. And then there's a level where you go to Gasworks so you can see Cassandra play. And then after that, you go to the studio to try to get your contracts back. And then Ben kidnaps Cassandra. And then you go to Ben's studio where you have to get your show contract back and you have to save Cassandra. So it's kind of more in line with the movie instead of being sucked into a video game and whatnot.
And you get to play as Garth.
And you can play as Garth. Yeah, that's, you know.
Game on!
Party on, Wayne, and party on, Garth.
So, I wanted to talk about the developer of this game real quick, just because I like this kind of stuff. The developer of this game was Gray Matter Inc., and it was started in 1985, but it started as Chris Gray Enterprise Incorporated. So, Chris Gray is the one that started this company, and worked on a few games as Chris Gray Enterprises called Whirlinyard? And Infiltrator on the Commodore 64. Then they started developing for the NES. They did Infiltrator 2, Captain Planet and the Planeteers, Indiana Jones Chronicles. That. And once the name change happened to Gray Matter Incorporated, they made such classic games as Mad Max, Dirty Harry, WWF King of the Ring for the NES. Then for the Super Nintendo, they made James Bond Jr., Incredible Crash Dummies, B.O.B., The Terminator, The Ren and Stimpy Show, Vidiots, and then some of the other games they worked on, which is a game we've played for the show, Technocop for the Sega Genesis.
Technocop!
And then they also worked on the classic PlayStation Crow game, City of Angels.
Oh, God.
If you've ever seen gameplay for that, you really should. It's terrible. But yeah, so it kind of makes sense why this game is how it is once you know what other games they worked on. So I thought that was interesting.
So what is it that you're trying to say about this game?
Oh, we'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
Do you want to hear some Wayne's World facts that I found?
Always.
I just got a few. So, apparently, Mike Myers worked on some other Canadian TV shows called City Limits and it's only rock and roll in his early career, and that's where he actually came up with the Wayne Campbell character in 1987, and it used to be a sketch called Wayne's Power Minute. Then he joined Saturday Night Live in 1989, and the sketch debuted on TV February 18th, 1989. Wayne's World was the 10th highest grossing film of 1992 and is the most successful Saturday Night Live based movie of all time.
So that's not surprising.
Right, yeah.
That last one, yeah.
Dana Carvey based Garth off of his brother, which his brother's name is Brad Carvey. And in Wayne's World 2, he wears a shirt that says Video Toaster, which is a special effects system that his brother actually helped develop. So kind of gave his brother a little shout out. I thought that was kind of sweet. Wayne's World marked Chris Farley's first movie debut. He plays the security guard at the Alice Cooper concert in the first
one. With all the information.
Yeah, so he's in the first one. He also makes a little cameo in the second one. But I thought that was kind of cool that that's his first, like, movie debut.
Isn't he trying to put the getting shot with tennis balls? We'll try to put the mic stands up in the second
one. As the roadie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven was not in the home release version. You know, when he's playing, when he starts playing the riff for it, and then he's like, hey, and he points at the sign. It's changed in the home release version. But I want to say there might be some versions that got re-released to where it actually has the original riff in there again.
I think the version I watched does not have that riff in it because I thought it sounded weird when I watched
it.
Yeah,
I remember not having the riff.
Yep. So there's a lot of weird stuff like that, but you know, this isn't a movie podcast. I just thought it would be fun to throw a few little things in there like that. But that's all I've got with fun facts, Goobs.
Well, there's only one thing left to do, boys. A couple things, but the first thing is it's time to motherfucking rage.
Oh, come on!
Rage.
This is the rage meter. We're going to take a 1 to 10 and let you know how pissed off this game makes us. How pissed off, Goobs?
So pissed off that your co-host leaves you in Iowa, and you're just left there by yourself.
Oh, jeez.
It's just sad.
It's just sad. That's real
it's
sad.
It's rageful.
Okay, so, Goobs, you're going to go first.
And then a horse comes by, kicking brimstone of fire at you, and kicks you in the dick and lights your pubes on fire. And then the horse throws you to the ground and has a fire cock and fucks you in the ass with his fire cock.
There's all the fire we were missing earlier.
Yeah, there's all the ragefulness.
Goobs, how about you go first on this? You sound pretty raged up right now.
Yeah, it's been a time. So, you know how much I love maze levels in games. We've been playing a lot of those recently, by the way, Toby.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
And I fucking hate every single second of it. They're absolutely brutal. This one is a special case because it doesn't tell you to go anywhere. There's no indicators, no nothing, no signs, no hope. There's no hope, Toby. Yeah. You're trying to get through these fucking levels. And like our friend Joey spent 90 to 156 hours or whatever it is on one level. Is absolutely... It guts you. You're trying to get through this shit and like there's things coming at you in all different ways. The sound effects are fucking annoying, so that doesn't help. It's like an acid flashback. Like, I'd never done acid, but if I did, I imagine this game would kind of help with bring me back to the times. Because, like, just all this random shit just happening. Not fun. You get lost very easily. The enemies are nonstop, relentless. The bosses ain't too bad, which is okay. When do you get to fight fucking Elvis Thorne come at you? Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. But yeah, the levels are very bland. They stuck together. They just bleed right into each other. Nothing so much going on there. The sprites aren't too great. The music is decent at best. It's just so much shit going on in this game. Big head fucking takes up a quarter of the screen. I'm probably exaggerating. Like, this is the, hey, this is how big the fish I caught was. But the Wayne's head is pretty fucking big. I'm going to give this game a 7.5 on the rage meter.
Okay. That's pretty rageful.
Yeah, I got pretty frustrated a lot of times. Even though I breezed through this game pretty easily, it was still one hell of a fucking time.
Yeah, I think you're the only one that breezed through this game.
It was
absolutely.
Not Zang.
Absolutely.
And I'm still giving it a 7.5.
Speaking of breezing through the game, Joey, you want to go next?
So I feel like if you don't see this score coming, you know, for the past hour, then you haven't been listening to everything I've been saying. So I feel like, but you know, I can't really add too much onto what Goob said because he really highlighted all of it. Right? It was the controls and the jumping and this like jump shooting that was driving me crazy. And the maze that I didn't realize was a maze for, like, the first hour. Because I was like, where am I going and how do I get out of here? And, you know, by hour 627 of the first level, the rage meter was, like, all-time high for me. Because I really started to question, am I just terrible at video games? Am I terrible at life? Like,
you had a life crisis playing this game.
Yeah, I'm like, what exactly is going on here? Because why can I not get past this stuff? The fact that you have to get hit by something in certain areas, like you just have to take it, even though you might not be able to afford it with like the health you have. I was going crazy playing it. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna set this game down for a little bit. I'm gonna watch Wayne's World and then I'll try it again. And I tried it again. And I'm like, yep, I still fucking hate this game. And I was like, so I think, you know, then this afternoon, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna play it a little bit longer. Just so I'm ready for the show. And I tried to like charge my way through it and just try to go through as quick as possible.
Oh,
which
no.
Completely backfired because then I got hit like 500 more times than I was when I was actually trying to play it. And I was like, okay, well, this game's impossible. I suck at everything. So I think I'm actually go higher than Goobs. I'm at an eight. I was starting to lose it a little bit playing it.
Okay. Okay.
And then every time I heard excellent, like every 10 seconds, you know, the rage meter was climbing until I turned the sound off.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. That's what got me. The repeating noises. I fucking cannot stand that shit. Thank you for bringing that up. That's one thing that pushed me over the edge on that game.
Yeah, it's as soon as you like reach your breaking point with the repetitive sound, then it's just grating. Then it's like I can't even hear it one more time.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as I'm the Wayne's World number one fan of this group here, I'm still going to have... I think the rage meter's at an 8 because I'm still stuck in the music store.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I got a lot of stuff to rage about this game. Just like you guys, here's the thing. I think the stages are too long, too confusing. Like, we've hammered over the head that this is a maze. But we've never brought up the fact that there's no checkpoints. Not one fucking checkpoint in this entire game. That is so frustrating. So when you die, you start all the way at the beginning of that level. And you know, I kept getting lost like we talked about over and over. It sucks because you have to memorize everything and then you die on something so stupid and small. And you're like, son of a bitch, I have to do this all over again. And it's super frustrating. And as soon as you lose the rapid fire thing, that blows. But we didn't mention this earlier. There's slowdown when you have like the thing that shoots really fast and the giant sound waves. There's a lot of slowdown, which is frustrating. It just by itself. There's also lots of blind jumps, and there's a lot of things shooting off. There's a lot of things shooting at you from off screen. The fucking darts. I couldn't get the timing down. Now that I know that there's different colors darts that were probably different speeds, that would have been nice to know. I couldn't figure out the pattern when I was doing them, so that's something to be pissed about. Sometimes you would jump up onto a platform, but you would miss it because you weren't pixel perfect. And then sometimes you would jump and you just weren't jumping high enough. And then getting knocked into the platform above you was bullshit. Oh my god. Did y'all notice if you jump into the wall by accident, it pushes you back into enemies sometimes? Like you
yes.
bump into the yep. wall. Why is that even there?
I think the lesson I learned in this game is that you just have to take it. Just take it like a little bitch and just take it. Like,
well,
that's it.
With you saying it was an 8, I'm giving this game a 9 because this is Ooh. A super frustrating game. Like, I was so frustrated playing this game just because of the little things like that. Like, why does you running into a wall push you back and then into an enemy? Or, oh my god. Yeah, a 9. Easy, easy, stressful game.
I think I messaged you guys once or twice over the past couple weeks, and you know, when we were talking about the show, and I said, yeah, just so you know, I'm playing the game, and I still hate it.
Well, with you saying that, maybe we should calm down and try to give our best rating overall and see if we actually did hate it by the end of this playthrough completely. So let's settle down, take a deep breath. Let's give the game a nice 1 to 10 to let us know if it's still worth playing. 1 being it's absolutely dog shit, 10 being it's the best game we've ever played. I guess I go first since I went last, huh?
Is you?
Okay. Well, here we go, guys. I think my biggest complaint about this game is the level design. The maze is not fun. It's super frustrating to circle around and round and round again. Each level should have only been 2 stages and a boss. That's it. This should have been a nice short playthrough. I liked the graphics. I know that's not popular amongst us, but I liked the graphics for the most part. It felt Wayne's World-ish. It felt like it would have been... If they had a movie or a sketch about them making a video game about themselves, this is the game that would have been made. So I feel like it fits in with everything. So I didn't hate the story. It was fine. The cutscenes were fine. They were just super long. It feels like the sketches. It really does. I just enjoyed the goofiness overall of the story and everything. And the references to the movie. Like, if you're a Wayne's World fan, it's great. The music's a little disappointing, considering it's 2 guys that are really big into music. I wish, like we talked about earlier, Rock and Roll Racing. Why couldn't we get some cool stuff like that? Because that soundtrack's really good. Now, I think my score for this would have been lower if it didn't have the Wayne's World characters in it. Like, if this wasn't a Wayne's World game, the score would be much lower. I'm going to admit that right off the bat. The thing that made this game was the references all the way through. And just the cutscenes and stuff and referencing the movie. So it's still hard as balls. But it's got it captures a lot of charm of the movie and the show, the movie and the sketches. I'm going to give it a 4.5 because it's playable, it's super hard, and if you're a Wayne's World fan, I think you'll like the stuff in it. I don't think you'll like the game. I would never play this again. 4.5. Joey, you want to go next?
Sure. So... I think I echo that sentiment almost exactly, right? And before you got into it, I was going between a 3 and a 4. And I was like, man, a 3, that's pretty shitty. Like, am I gonna really do this game dirty like that? And then I remembered that I'm still stuck on the first level 736 hours later. So I was like, maybe I really should give it a 3. But I do agree with you. The charm of just Wayne's World and being such a big fan of the movie and the references helped it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I like you said, if this was any other game and I played it for like 3 minutes, I would be like, I'm over this already, right? But, you know, Wayne Campbell kept me in it. But I really wish there was other characters from the movie. Like you were talking about the Nintendo game, right? Like, we... Benjamin or Cassandra, anyone, right? Just give me something.
Yeah.
It's just some more like characters from the movie itself. So I don't know. You know, I think I was going between 3 and a 4. I will give it, man.
Split the difference, 3.5.
Yep. I think I'm going to go 3.5 because I was so frustrated with it. And I said, I hate this game out loud many times while I was playing it. But just, you know, having it be a Wayne's World themed game was the only thing that saved it. So
yep.
3.5, that's where I'm at. Again, like you said, after tonight, I'll probably never play it ever again.
fair. Goops.
Okay. As we all are, huge fan. Wayne's World, fucking love it. Mike Myers, Canadian. Bow down to him. Fucking God back in the day. Not so much now. But Wayne Campbell, hell yeah, we strive to be that, like, Toby, me and Toby, Wayne and Garth, fucking let's go.
Damn right.
All day, we strive to be as cool as they are, but not as cool as they are in this video game. It's something. It does have its quirks. I fucking love all the cutscenes. I love the story. I love all that stuff. It is very much Wayne's World, even though they're saying the same dweeb, 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 all the stuff. Like, I laughed at it. Well, the ones I could read, because sometimes they were super fast.
Yeah.
I had to ask Jen, because she's a super reader. Shout out to Jenny Bean again. I'm like, what did that say? And she'd tell me, like, oh, okay. Start laughing, because it is super fast text. I can read at a decent speed, but that was crazy. Speaking of crazy, some of the choices they made in this game are just crazy. I feel like I'm going back in the rage meter again.
kind of are.
Yeah, all the, I don't know, man. The level design was fucking garbage. I don't like it. I'm going to probably give this game a 4.
Okay.
It had some, 4.5. I'll give it a little bit just because I really enjoyed, like, I just love Wayne's World. I don't want to give this a bad count, but I'm going to have to.
I'm with you. I get it.
That was my internal struggle. How can I do this to something Wayne's World? How can I do this?
Well, I honestly enjoy the NES game more than this.
Did you? The little bit that I played of it, I hated it more than this one. So that's interesting.
It was, like, this game is good somewhat, like, it's hard as fuck, and there's so much things going on, but I just want to love it. Just give me some, if they redid this and put some music behind it, like the music from the movie and shit like that, it'd be a totally different thing.
Yeah, if they remade this, I'm totally behind it. Like, even with the plot being sucked into the video game, like, I'm fine with all of that. Just fix some of the stuff, shorten the levels, make it less mazy, or at least put some fucking arrows.
If Wayne's World went to Saturday morning television, that's what this game is.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, guys, with all three of our scores combined, we're giving this game a 4.16.
So, a must play.
Not. Finish him. Well, this is the end of the show. And, Joey, we appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us, talking Wayne's World, making us play this... this game.
This great high scoring game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I had, you know, I forced my way onto this episode. So
now
I'm regretting every second of it.
Me too, actually.
No, I'm not.
We've also had some behind the scenes flubs and stuff with technology. So,
oh God, have we ever?
This has been a hell of a recording session. And I'm thank you for putting up with all of our mishaps tonight.
It's been fun. We had a good time tonight.
Now, tell us about some retro pop relics. Like, I plug it all the time on the stream. I know everyone knows about it, but let's hear it straight from the corporate horse's mouth.
Sure. Right. What's the power up? That's my new favorite one. Was it pre-corporate?
Oh yeah.
Buyout.
Yeah. Pre-corporate buyout.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the PCB. On Retropop here. So Retropop Relics is a 3D printed giant Nintendo cartridge web store. So I make these giant Nintendo cartridges, Game Boy, Nintendo 64, Switch. What am I missing here? Super Nintendo. And so, yeah, I think I've got, like, I don't know, 80 or 90 games in the shop right now, but definitely take requests too. As long as I can get the artwork and print it at high enough resolution for the size cartridges that I make, I'll do it. So yeah, the shop is growing as far as games that we're printing and making. And yeah, I think that's a decent description, right?
Yeah, no, they're great. They're great quality. We've creamed about them already enough. And hell, I bought them for Secret Santa for some of our friends this year. We've had some of our friends buy them, and they've all gave testimonies of how great the product is. So if it's perfect for game shelves, it's perfect for to sit on your desk, like, you know, just a nice reminder of your favorite video game, just biggie sized, you know. I think that's really cool. But that's not the only thing you have going on right now. You got something new happening, right?
Yeah, so I
world
think
premiere
there it is. I think when this show comes out, we wanted to do like a coordinated launch, right? So I'll be launching a second web store when this show comes out, called CantoCardStands.com.
And that is CantoCardStands.com.
There you go.
You gotta drill it in. Drill it.
Just keep repeating it so they're like, I have to go to this for some reason.
Oh, right. So you're talking about CantoCardStands.com.
Right. Yeah, CantoCardStands.com. Yeah.
I like how much we're plugging it. I haven't even talked about it yet. But we'll get to what it actually is, though, right?
Yeah.
So earlier tonight, I was showing the guys the site. It should be launched by the time the show comes out. But Kanto Card Stands is a 3D printed Pokemon card stand that also includes a 3D printed low poly Pokemon statue to go with the card stand. And so these card display stands can display Pokemon cards for that are in top loaders or PSA graded cards as well. And so they are color matched, and they have an imprint of the card energy type. So they come in like 12 different types and colors, and then you can pick your Pokemon to go with it. Is there any better description you guys can give?
No, there's even you showed us the blank base one where you can just pick one of the colors if you don't want the energy symbol on it, which that's pretty cool too. It just feels like there's a lot of customization you can do with this, especially with the little Pokemon statue, the poly, how did you describe it?
Low poly.
There we go. They're cute. They're cute as hell, and they're kind of designed to where they're at a little bit of a slant. That way, the statue doesn't cover your card when it's sitting on the shelf for beautifully.
And you can
display.
Slide them all together so it looks nice in a big display.
Yeah, I that's really what I want to see. I want to see someone with like 4 or 5 of them just piled up together and see how it all looks together. But that's really cool. That's really exciting. I know we definitely have some Pokemon card collecting fans, and hell, there might be a few cards that I might want to get for my shelf, you know, to display them. Because
we were pretty blown away from the display, like how they look.
Yeah, they're
when
very
you showed
nice.
Us for the first time. We jizzed in our pants. I'm not gonna lie.
That's the best review I can get.
Yeah. You Elvis jizzed in your hand and threw it at everyone.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
It smells like peanut butter and banana.
But no, they're really cool. I highly suggest if you collect Pokemon. Jesus Christ. What am I? 75 years old? God dang. Pokemon.
You got those like Pokemon cards.
But yeah, if you got some nice cards that you want to display, this is perfect to do it, you know? So, and you know, what you ought to do is get the card. You also go to retropoprelics.com. You get the cartridge of one of the Pokemon games. You make a whole setup, right?
It's possible that I, yeah, have pictures already that I'll be posting.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
Pokemon Red with the Charizard stand and everything. So, yeah, you know.
Very cool.
And don't forget, if you go to RetroProPros.com, don't forget to use code GD at checkout.
Damn right. I'm sure you'll be posting pictures of all this on social media. Do you want to plug your social media so people can follow you?
Yeah, so really I'm only on Instagram right now for social for both of them. So on Instagram, that's the best place to post pictures and kind of see like the product, right? So it kind of lends its hand to that. So for both of them, Instagram, it'll be Kanto Card Stands and Retro Pop Relics, all one word for both.
Very cool. So yeah, go follow. And that way, if you're looking for a certain cartridge that you want giant 3D printed for yourself, you can also reach out for some custom stuff or looking for a specific game that you don't see on your website already, right?
And also, how many Pokemon do you have on CandleCarStands.com?
Right now, I have 251 options.
There you go, folks.
We're trying to add more, but yeah, head over there and pick your favorite one.
Head over where?
Oh, you know what? I think it was CantoCardStands.com.
We're not cellos here at all, folks.
Not at all. Never sold out nothing. But speaking of selling out, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/BadSecretMedia that helps support all the shows under our little umbrella, including Jenny Bean's show. Goobs usually gives a nice little nickname for our patrons. Goobs, what do you got for this episode?
Songs from Wayne's World 1 and 2.
Oh, songs from Wayne's World 1 and 2. Very cool. All right. Are you ready, Goobs?
Yeah, I am.
All right, to kick us off, we've got Kep Kep.
Hot and Bothered by Cinderella.
Low Five Alex.
Rock Candy by the Bullet Boys.
What about Lethco?
Lethco gets Dreamweaver. I hope you're in my dreams tonight. By Gory Light Bright.
S. Dooble.
S. Dooble gets Feed My Frankenstein by Alice Cooper.
Ashton Ruby.
Ballroom Blitz.
Blitz so much.
Tia Carrillo.
The Mermaid Under Toby, our friend Grimm.
This Time Machine by Black Sabbath.
Parallax Puddles.
Snuckle-mania by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
John Brissett.
Get a Ride With Yourself by Rhino Bucket. What the fuck?
DJ Romance Baby.
Lovin' Your Lovin' by Eric Clapton. Yep.
What about Gilmy Talks?
You Wanna Break My Heart. Tina Career.
Wolfman.
Louie Louie. Robert Plant.
Our really hilarious producer and local wizard, Ringo, a.k.a. Bubsy Von Doom.
Dude Looks Like a Lady. Aerosmith.
Perfect. Paprika.
Superstar.
What about The Berg?
He gets Spirit in the Sky.
Retro Rex.
Radar Love.
The Reviews Brothers, Martin.
Frankenstein by Edward Wright. Edward Winter, sorry.
Keith Gasper.
He's a YMCA.
Chris Copley.
Mary's House.
What about Fat Shags?
Shut Up and Dance.
Poppy the Mask Keaton, our librarian.
God, I'm running out of songs here. Rock Candy.
Well, I'm glad you're running out of songs, because last, we've got Riku.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Perfect. Those are our patrons. You can support us at patreon.com/badsecretmedia. We've got a bunch of extra content and stuff up there. So, yeah, go do the things. We'll just plug our socials and stuff like that and wrap up, because this has gone long just because of all the chaos. Follow us on all social media at Secret Levels Pod. You can follow me on social media as well at Toby Von Doom. What about you, Goobs?
I'm Goobs WN on those things.
We're going to speed run some of this stuff. We got a Discord, don't we, Goobs?
Yeah, join the motherfucking Discord. There's links in the show notes below. Come be a part of the family. Lots of great people in there, former guests on the show, including this man himself. Everyone's in the Discord. Come join the Discord. Be part of the Discord.
Make sure you're listening to the lovely Jenny Bean's Nocturnal Mysteries podcast if you like spooky dooky stuff.
Yeah, go check it out. It's absolutely everywhere. If you want more information on that, go to badsecretmedia.com.
Damn right. What else? That's it, right? We can wrap this up quick.
Some say this episode is as long as it took me to get out of the first level of Queen's Row.
Game over, folks.
I hate Secret Levels podcast.